Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a fabulous service department that takes care of the life of the vehicle. You can't ask for more. It's one-stop vehicle shopping. They're outstanding. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Didn't Jimmy Butler play for your team once?
That is correct, yeah.
Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
It's loose! The Lillard! Jimmy Butler!
Sets up a three-pointer!
Why not?
Butler!
One shot! 56 last night. And they're up 3-1 in the Bucks. And LeBron had his first ever playoff 2020 last night. Shocked you didn't mention that. I know you're a big fan.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Did you look up the helmet phone?
Not yet. I need to do that.
You have to look up the helmet phone. We'd be watching the NFL draft. And again, when Chet Simmons went to Pete Rozelle. I mean, Rozelle, they kind of looked at him. And normally the NFL was, when it came to media, you know, they were pretty, advanced. And they looked at him like, what? Are you kidding me? Now it's like, right, everybody wants to carry it. And this time it's in. And then, to let you know that, you know, they're ahead of the game, they moved it out of Radio City Music Hall. And people a few years ago, they moved it to Chicago first. What are you, crazy? And now they look at him, another brilliant move by the NFL. When they brought it to Philadelphia, it was phenomenal. When they brought it to Chicago, it was great. Nashville. And now they got it in Kansas City.
And I think that's going to be a pretty epic sight, too.
It'll be a great sight. I think they're bringing it to Green Bay coming up. They had it in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, that was last year.
Last year, yeah. And remember, this stuff's outdoors. I mean, you do take a little bit of a risk. I mean, obviously they've got that stage covered and things like that, but the fans.
And it did rain in Chicago too. I think it rained on day two.
And it was great.
Or day three, I should say. Yeah, and it was.
Yeah, and it's Detroit that has the draft next year. Detroit does. And, again, that's... And they'll love it there. And it's good for Detroit to get it. You have to... part of this, too, is not only bidding for it, but it also, I think, helps the image of a city when you do it, too. Kind of walk out of there with, hey, they're you know, these people are great, town's great, you know, places to eat, the whole thing. It's, you know, it's really great for tourism.
This helmet is pretty cool. I definitely want one now.
Which Eagles helmet is it? Is it the current one, or
it's the one from the we'll say the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
Which will be the new retro uniform, actually, when they bring back the Kelly Greens next year.
That's great.
Although I'm not seeing a price, but it's up for auction, so I can only imagine where that's going to go.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, if I remember, and somebody, you can call the show and correct me on this. I thought at the time when they were selling them, because they were running ads during the draft, that, hey, you want to buy the, you know, the phone that's on the table of your favorite team, blah, blah, blah. And it was something like $189 or something, some number like that. Now, too, we're talking, we're in the 80s here. So who knows how much it is now. Phenomenal. All right, a couple quick notes on Penn State. One is, let's start with the football part of it, the recruiting part. And obviously, you know, they have been getting more... They've been really loading up on a lot of offensive linemen in the recruiting part of it, because they got another verbal commitment today, and I guess that puts them into the top five of the current class. But Hunter Carson, who was an important part of the recruiting staff, she announced that she is going to be leaving and going to the Cleveland Browns. The recruiting staff for Penn State is really deep, though. It's really deep. There's so much quality on that staff. And it's passionate. And you have to be passionate to be on the recruiting staff. It's a big part of it. And they're not just knowledgeable, but they're passionate. And they work. And so, yes, she's going to do great work with the Cleveland Browns. She works very hard. At the same time, Penn State already has a pretty well-oiled machine when it comes to the recruiting staff. The next part is... dealing with basketball. And basketball, they announced today the Big Ten schedule as to which ones you play once and which ones you will play home and away. And not only just where you once, but where you're going to be playing them. The running joke that Dick Girardi and I always have when it comes to this announcement is always on a bare minimum of three things. One, is there a Palestra game? Now, that's not on here, but let's not rule it out. We'll leave it at that, okay? Okay. Two, are they playing at Rutgers? And B, I assume you see, are they playing at Maryland? Now, why is that important for Dick? Because essentially those are the three home games for him. He puts in a lot of mileage during the course of the year to do Penn State basketball or flights. I mean, you know, but if he can make a quick trip over to Rutgers, great. If he can make a, you know, relatively quick trip down to Maryland, great. If he can make a trip over the Palestra, great. All right. So the Palestra part isn't solved yet, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. So here are the home and aways. This is where they'll play home and away. They'll play home and away with Indiana, Iowa, Michigan State, Maryland, Minnesota, Northwestern, and Ohio State. The three schools that Penn State will play at home without a return will be Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin. That means no trip to the dreaded House of Horrors known as the Kohl Center. You're saying, why do you call it that? It has nothing to do with the Kohl Center, which is a beautiful building. It has nothing to do with the wonderful people there at all. It has to do with the fact that Penn State has won twice at Wisconsin, and both were at the Fieldhouse. You can now have 2 and 2 equal 4. Still waiting to do a game there where Penn State wins. The away games, single-play opponents. Penn State will play solo games on the road with Nebraska, Rutgers, and Purdue. So again, the home and aways, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan State, Maryland, Minnesota, Northwestern, Ohio State. One plays at home, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin. One plays on the road, Nebraska, Rutgers, and Purdue. It used to be that when I would get this portion of the schedule, where at minimum I would see, you know, even though, you know, sequencing is important, you know, and I know I complain all the time about the number of home games on Saturdays and things like that. I know I do that. But I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about attendance. I'm not thinking about me. It doesn't matter to me about what's going on with me. And I'm always thinking about, you know, for you, the fans, what's the best opportunity to get you here? But when I would get the sequencing over the years, especially when it was an 11-school league, and before the transfer portal, I'd usually be able to take a long look at it and say, okay, based on the schedule, they don't have to play them twice. All right, well, they only play them once, and it's at home. Or, like, oh, they got to play this team twice, and that team twice, and that team twice. Right? And you could get a pretty good gauge as to what you thought were the top three or four teams in the conference, what may have been teams 5 through 8, and what teams may have been 9 through 11. It's really difficult now. You don't know any longer, because of the transfer portal, who anybody has. And this is something that with the let's take Michigan, for example. Okay, Hunter Dickinson, transfer portal. Jed Howard, NBA draft. Kobe Bufkin, NBA draft. Joey Baker had applied for a 6th year. The transfer from Duke, who was their 6th man, then late in the season because of injuries to Jed Howard, had been starting. He had applied for an extra year and didn't get it. So that's 4 players right away that played big roles, key roles, in Michigan basketball last season. So I can't really get a gauge yet on who's going to replace them, because they're going through the portal like everybody else, and you just don't know. Indiana's had a lot of turnover in what's going on, and we know what the situation is with Penn State. We've graphically outlined it since the end of the NCAA tournament, since the day Micah ended up taking the Notre Dame job. We've outlined what the issues are on roster and the job that Mike Rhodes has in front of him. Because Penn State, at minimum, was going to have to get at least 4 people out of the transfer portal this year had there been no change. And, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm trying to figure out what the difference is between getting 4 and 7 people out of the transfer portal. It's, you know, it's almost double, but it's doable. And when you're sitting there and you're looking at rosters these days, it's hard to get a handle on who's doing what. There's certain rosters that do have some level of stability to it. Purdue has some level of stability to it. A lot of times, believe it or not, Iowa does. But then there's Nebraska, which doesn't have a lot of roster stability to it. So you have to get into the season to really figure out how good they are. And this past season was a good idea, that you're sitting there in the offseason saying, okay, who are these guys? And then they go out and beat Creighton. Like, okay, that's a red flag. And there's something else that's happening in both football and basketball that I find interesting right now, Matt. There have been so many times where someone has put their name into the transfer portal in football or basketball, and within 12 hours of being in, they've landed someplace. You felt like with Noah Kane, I'm in the transfer portal, and then like at 12:01 midnight, it's like, I'm at LSU. Like, okay, that's interesting. I'm not saying anything was done wrong there. I'm just giving you an outrageous, but like, how about a relatively quick turnaround like that? You know, I over-exaggerated. Now it seems like there are a lot of people taking their time. They're in the transfer portal. They're taking their time. In fact, this has been an interesting time where the transfer portal for football has been open now since Sunday the 16th, and it will close the 30th. And there's been people going into the transfer portal, but it hasn't been like an avalanche. Now, by the end of this week, it may seem like an avalanche. But I'm saying last week there were people going in, but not in this gigantic Hawaii 5-0 wave, a tidal wave heading to the shore. There were a lot of people going in, but not like a tidal wave. Now, by the end of this week, we may see that because it's a push come to shove time. Today is, what, the 25th, and it closes on the 30th. And remember, this is just the time to put your name into the portal. Once you put your name into the portal, you can sign next week, you could sign in June, you could sign in July, it's up to you and the school. But it seems to me like you are seeing more and more players take more visits and are being a little more deliberate in their choices. Because let's take Hunter Dickinson as a basketball example. He puts his name into the transfer portal. I think everyone thought he'd have his decision made within, 4 or 5 days. Nope. He's made visits. He's gone to Maryland, Kentucky. I mean, he's been kind of taking his time about it. Now, he's also highly sought after. He's going to get a landing spot. Today, Tyler Buchner, the quarterback at Notre Dame, put his name into the transfer portal in football. And, he got off to a good start in the season, got hurt, then came back, led them to the victory in the bowl game over South Carolina, where he played well. And it was interesting with him. He not only put his name into the transfer portal, he also put a red exclamation point next to it, which means you don't contact him, he'll contact you.
And I think that's kind of why this is all slow, is there's so much power for these student-athletes now where they can go on all these different visits and maybe go on second and third visits to these schools so they can up the ante, especially with NIL now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of it. There's no question about that. And also, I'm wondering if at some point that you have because they wanted that with the rule change about you can go once, but the second time through you have to sit out a year. I wonder if people are being a little more deliberate about their choice, knowing that's also like, hey, if I do this again, I'm going to have to sit out a year. Because, I mean, JT Daniels is on to his fourth school in 4 years. So I don't know.
Certainly could be it, too. But, yeah, I'm definitely seeing that.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry about that.
With, just on the Bucknell women's side of things, they lost Remy Sisselman, and that was right around the same time they lost Cecilia Collins, some of their top players. Cecilia Collins was the top player. And she's now visited Penn State being one of them. She's visited like 4 or 5 other schools. 2 or 3 of them Power 5, and she made that call at least 2 or 3 months ago. And same about Remy Sisselman, but she finally signed and is actually, after all that, staying in the Patriot League with Lehigh.
Okay.
But Cecilia Collins is really taking her time.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of people have been taking their time. Yeah. it doesn't seem like there's an accelerated process this time around. Yeah, with some people, you know, they pretty much have an idea what they want to go. They get they like what they hear and they go. All right, that's fine. And that's happened. But then there have been others where, and we, you know, there was obviously that initial wave in January in football. But I've been noticing that in basketball, and I'm seeing it carry over into football, where there are more and more individuals being more deliberate. And at the same time, I think I'm also seeing more and more schools take the Penn State approach, and they're being, you know, while aggressive and reaching out, and say, yeah, but also being deliberate about who they're reaching out to. Penn State's been very much like that over time. You know, that's how you, you know, and they're with people that they've built relationships with over the years, a Chop Robinson and getting him, a Johnny Dixon, and Arnold Ebiketie, you know, Mitchell Tinsley. I mean, there's been a list of guys that have done it, but the list isn't exponentially long at Penn State because James has been selective, and they have done a really terrific job, for the most part. You're not going to be perfect, of vetting their transfers. And that's where I think for Mike Rhodes, having his staff established in place that knows him and knows what direction he wants to take elements in, that's a big part of it, because they were already in the process of vetting transfers. So, yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, no, it's just it's an interesting tangent to this process this time. It just seems to be more deliberate across the board, and I'm not seeing as many rushes to jump to a new location. And people are taking multiple visits and then making up their mind. And I found that to be an interesting part of this process that I don't really think had been a part of that process before. It kind of felt like there was a lot of, okay, here we go. All right, great, I'm in. So, all right. Draft is coming up. Eagles have 2 picks in the first round. The Steelers essentially have 2 in the first round. When I say essentially, they do have the 32nd pick, but it's going to be the first pick on Friday night because of that Chase Claypool trade with the Bears. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. It's so important. It really eases the buying process. And a great service department that takes care of everything, the life of the vehicle. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So, Mike DeCourcy was writing in Sporting News about the transfer portal. And he says that the transfer portal and NIL should be celebrated. Even though a lot, you know, there are a lot of people that want to cringe at it. So why does he think it should be celebrated? Well, of course, talking about the freedom of players, but again, they seem to have more freedom than the pros do, right?
I think so.
So that's part of what I think people are upset about. They also don't like losing players. But he does make, to me, one interesting point, and that is it does bring with it a hot stove league type atmosphere to it. What do we enjoy about the off-season, for example, in baseball? What we enjoy about the off-season in baseball, the winter meetings, what trades might be made, who's going to sign as a free agent, and the movement that takes place there. In the NFL, it's, as soon as the season's over, it's, you know, you have the combine, who entered the draft, who's going to be at the combine, you know, free agency, and there's free agent movement along the way. You lose a Miles Sanders, okay, then you know how do the Eagles replace him? And then, of course, there's the draft. So it's a lot of the off-season stuff that keeps your sport at the forefront. So I see what Mike's talking about there. The part that is, I think, getting a little maddening for people is I'm on my fourth school. Okay. All right. I'm on my fourth school. That is an issue. There is no doubt. Like, let's just take college basketball for a moment. What has happened? UConn just won the national championship. And Tristan Newton from East Carolina, Joey Calcaterra from San Diego. Not San Diego State, but the University of San Diego. And Na'Alim from Virginia Tech, who had played against Penn State. And let's face it, those guys combined for 51 points in the final four games. They're all transfers. Final four included 13 transfers among the 25 rotation players. Okay. And we all know that transfers were critical getting Penn State to the NCAA tournament. Can't get around it. A lot of ways, what they tried to do in the short period of time was here is they tried to build a mid-major all-star team, and it worked. And that's part of the transfer portal. The maddening part for fans is not who you get in the transfer portal. The part they hate is the players you lose in the transfer portal. I think that's the part that drives them crazy. What do you mean we're losing our guy? I'm loyal. Why can't you be loyal? Well, right? I'm loyal. Why don't you be loyal? Stay. And I'm guessing that that's a part of it.
Oh, 100%. I hear it all the time.
But again, if somebody joins you, you're all for it.
Overall, yeah. I mean,
oh, come on. They join your team. You're like, yeah, look who we got.
Well, as long as they seem to have a good track record. Like, I don't know personally if I like somebody coming in who was, and this is like my fourth, third, or fourth school, and their production's okay. Like, I don't know if I'd be necessarily jumping up and down about it. But if it's somebody who had a good maybe first 2 years and looking to move up, then maybe I'm a little more excited about it. But at the same time, though, I don't even know how excited you can be, because I could be thinking, how long are they going to last? Or even when you bring in a fresh set of freshman class, I'm thinking, okay, this is cool, but how long are they going to be here? That's kind of my mindset now, especially for someone who covers and is at a big part of a mid-major in the Patriot League.
Well, yeah, the transfer portal pretty much works one way there.
It's horrible. That's what I'm saying. There's got to be some sort of fix here, because the mid-majors are getting screwed.
Well, I don't know what the fix is.
I don't know either.
I really don't. Again, there's no question that and I think I brought it up with John when we had John Griffin on. I said the transfer portal pretty much just works one way for you guys. And he understood what I was saying. And that is that's the reality of mid to low major schools. What happens is that, I always have used the same, because it's just easy for me to use, the same example, Andrew Rousey. Andrew Rousey plays for North Carolina Wilmington. He scores 1,000 points in 2 years. Fabulous three-point shooter, and proves himself, because when you're a mid-major team, you still end up playing in your non-conference a few Power 5 teams. And he transferred to Marquette because he was, in their mind, a proven entity. And he scored 1,000 points in 2 years there. Okay. That's how the mid-major gets hurt all the time. The odd part is you've actually had some one-bid double-digit, one-bid leagues that are double-digit seeds that have been advancing in the NCAA tournament. So I've found that to be interesting, too. Because they've obviously lost people along the way and they've had to replace them.
Because I think a portion of that, too, has to be, and I can speak about this with Bucknell as well, is you might have players that were maybe in a Power 5 or maybe an upper-level, mid-major type school, but maybe they had some sort of setback, like an injury, so they go to this said lower-level, mid-major school, they go on this big run, then they use that to jump back up. I think that's kind of what you're seeing, too. I'm not saying you're necessarily going to see with this particular player, but last year, Bucknell brought in Jack Forrest from St. Joe's. He had some injury issues. He couldn't quite get in the playing time he was looking for. So he comes in and took him a little while to get going, but he was a nice addition and was a bright spot for Bucknell in the late season run that they did. Now, is he going to stay? I don't know. He's going into his senior year. I don't know how many years of eligibility he has left, but I'm just using that as an example. I could see that with a bunch of players like Florida Atlantic and San Diego State and those types of schools that went on those big runs this year. Can they sustain that? I don't think so.
I don't know. Especially Florida Atlantic's changing conferences.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Even more
Florida
so.
They're going to the American, and then we'll find out what the
tougher
future,
conference, too.
Yeah, we'll find out what the fate is of San Diego State down the road with the Pac-12 to see if that door opens or not. But the...
And then Princeton lost his coach.
Did Henderson leave?
Or who was it that left for Power 5? I can't forget who it was. It was somebody who went on a big run this year.
Fairleigh Dickinson lost their coach.
Yeah,
went to Iona.
That's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, but he went to Iona.
Right.
After Rick Pitino took the St. John's job.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. Bad example.
Okay. I don't know. It's, it does bring with it Well, okay, let's go with this. Penn State's in a spot where they need it. So it's a pretty popular item right now with Penn State fans because as of today, they're still under, you know, with roster construction. And because of the circumstances, there's no recruiting class because, you know, at the moment. And because of the circumstances, you know, they're still trying to craft a roster of 11 to 13 players. So Penn State needs it. It's really that simple in this particular year. As time goes, Mike Rhodes, I think, will want more 3-4 year players. That's always been his pattern. But you have to adapt in all this. And that's, I know, what I've tried to at least explain to everybody. Because, I mean, I've already done some speaking engagements. I got a whole bunch coming up here, as a matter of fact. And that's something I'm going to talk about. That when it comes to NIL and the transfer portal, I know this is now what people are used to even from 10 years ago. And it is a big change. But this is the kind of system that is currently in place. And if you want to be stubborn about it and not change, okay. But I think at that point, you put yourself in a position where, am I going to start losing? And if you're losing now, everybody, well, I can't believe you're not winning. Well, you told me not, you know, that you didn't want transfers in NIL. Okay. That's, it's the current system and it's legal. So now the, you know, what you have to do is you either have to adapt or be willing to lose. And I know a lot of, let's name the one coach that above all, when it comes to the transfer portal, has at least on the surface been unwilling to adapt. And that's Dabo Swinney. Right? And he's the, you know, people keep looking at him, and Clemson fans, they lost three times last year. And they acted as if they were below 500. And they're mad at him for not getting transfers. And I do not, I could not even a million years begin to tell you whether Clemson's NIL is in great shape or not. I don't know. So, but you're right. When it comes to Bucknell, it works in one direction. That's one of the, that's one of the problems of being a coach at a low to mid major. There was a period of time where they felt like they were developing players to that then prove themselves on a stage, and opposing teams are, hey, he'd look really good on our jersey. And what happened over time is it also affected, believe it or not, some scheduling by teams. There are some of the low to mid majors. Yeah, they need the money, but they were cautious about some of the scheduling they did in the non-conference because they didn't want to showcase their guys for certain teams.
Hmm. That's very interesting.
Like, okay. I mean, you talk to people and you hear these items and you sit back and go, wow, that's more than interesting.
You wonder if that's going to be even more of a factor now as we continue to get deeper into this NIL transfer portal business.
I don't know because you do have to make a decision there. And here's the decision. Hey, I don't want to lose my players, so I don't want to showcase them in front of somebody big, a Power 5 school. But if I play the Power 5 school, I'm going to get a payday that helps my athletic department. There is the quandary.
That's just the way it is now.
I know, and that's the quandary. Like, do I want to do that? It's not easy. That's why sitting in this chair, talking to all of you great people, it's just so much easier. I'd rather talk to all of you great people any day of the week than have to make these kinds of decisions. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Okay, what?
R.I.P. Harry Belafonte.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, he passed away today at 96?
Yeah.
Wow. What a life, what a career, what a voice, and also what an activist. Yeah. Well, yeah. 96 years old. Well, rest in peace, Harry Belafonte. The, Any other complaints before we get out of here? I only gave you room for one today, so I apologize. there was a lot to talk about.
There was, yeah. It's not just about me getting stuff off my chest. I can do that anytime.
There had to be one more thing.
Yes, Dylan Brooks needs to face the music. If he actually wants to be a villain, then be the villain and actually talk to the media and don't blame the media for giving you the villain title. Because A, you did it to yourself. And B, you claimed you wanted it to be anyway. So just face the music and be professional and talk to the media. That'd be great. Thanks.
Okay. I understand that, but maybe there isn't anything he has to say I want to hear. Like, okay.
He always seems to have plenty to say, especially if he gets what he wants.
Oh, you're not talking about the staff meeting. I'm sorry.